In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this is the word of our Lord. We have gone through the weeks of Advent, the anticipation, the adventure of Advent, the looking forward to the birth of Christ, to celebrate his birth. The birth that over 2,000 years ago changed the world forever. The birth of a baby who was born a king, not the king that the Jews at that time were expecting and hoping for. They were looking for a king who would overthrow the Romans who oppressed them, but truly a king. Jesus came, as we are told in this scripture. It says he came to all men. It says that he came to everyone. And so we know that everyone who will confess their sins and call upon his name will be one of his people. We know that. Jesus came in the year, in the days of Caesar Augustus. Caesar was the great Roman ruler, and he ruled most of the known world at that time. Jesus came in humble circumstances, not as we would expect a king to arrive. We would expect a king to be coming in triumphantly and a carpet rolled out for him. And even in past times when a child king was inaugurated, they would bring them in and they would roll out the carpets and there would be gold and there would be horns and trumpets. But Jesus was born in a manger, in a stable. Jesus was born to two people who were inconsequential as far as the world was concerned. Not the typical king. Not the one that the people of that time were looking forward to. Quite often, we fail to accept God as God comes to us. We want God to come in a certain way. We expect Him to behave a certain way and act a certain way and do the things that we want Him to do. Just as they expected Him to come in and overthrow the Romans and free them from the bondage that they were in. To stop the taxes, to stop the unfair treatment, to stop having other governments rule them. When the angels came and said, "This is very good news. This is very good news." It was indeed very good news. But I would imagine that more than just seeing angels come down from heaven with God's illumination all around them, obviously coming down in the night when there's no light other than maybe a fire and some torches, coming down had to scare them to death. But when they said, "We bring good news," this was a very familiar term. This was how they introduced the Roman rulers. This is how they introduced even the low-level Roman rulers. They called them, they would introduce them as the Savior. When they came into a Jewish village, they would introduce them as good news. They used the Greek word for the good news. And so even these humble shepherds had to be startled. But when the Romans brought good news, Romans had a very class-conscious system. And when they came in and proclaimed that they were going to do something wonderful for the people in a particular part of the world that they dominated, when they came in, say, to Jerusalem, or they came into another part of their kingdom, and they said good news, they knew that it only meant good news for the people at the very top. The people who could do things in return for the Romans. The people who could deliver. It wouldn't have meant good news for the shepherds. The angels came and said, "We bring good news for all people." Not even just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. The angels came and told the shepherds, because this was part of God's plan. They knew that if they went and told King Herod, who ruled that part of Judea, that King Herod would have done what he did when he heard that there was a baby king born. He slayed all the children 2 years old and under, because he couldn't find Jesus, who had fled to Egypt. They knew that if they had told the good news to the Jewish leaders, they would have gone and tried to destroy the Messiah child, because they were afraid that they would lose their position of power, even as low as it was under the Romans. So they came to the shepherds, who had nothing to lose and everything to gain from the good news. And they went And they joyously went from house to house and down the streets and shouted it and told them what they had seen. They had seen the angels had come to them and had spoken the words of God. They had seen the illumination of God. They saw the radiance of the very Holy Spirit. And they had seen the heavenly host that were around them once the angels had spoken. And this reminds us, you know, that we've seen in the Old Testament when they're getting ready to go into battle, and the name escapes me. You can help me out, Frank or Gary, Brad, one of you guys can tell me. But and he said, "We're going to go and we're going to go and fight those people." And he's looking, "Where's anybody else? Or isn't anybody else? It's just us." And he told him, he said, "No, we're not alone." And suddenly he opened his eye. He had the Holy Spirit open his eye, and he saw that there were legions from heaven surrounding the enemy on every side. And the enemy could not and did not prevail. The power of God is amazing. I believe it was at work in the Six-Day War in Israel when they were surrounded by all the countries with huge armament and weapons and training and soldiers who were going to kill them. Yet they could not be successful in a battle. Their planes fell out of the air when they flew. Their missiles missed their targets. Their bombs didn't explode the way they should or at all. And so here the shepherds were, and they saw these legions of God's angels and heavenly helpers that were there. And they weren't worried about leaving their sheep. They went out and told the good news. And they did it with great joy. This Christmas is a wonderful time. We've anticipated. We've been building up to it. We've been looking forward to it. Why? Because Jesus Christ changes lives. My life is so, so very different than it was before I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Before Jesus drugged me out of where I was. Now, I don't have any good preacher stories and everything. I never was addicted to drugs or anything. I never was down and out and at the bottom. But I wasn't a really great guy. And I didn't do things in God's will. And I didn't listen for the Word of God to guide me. And it's like my younger brother told me when he, after he had his stents put in his heart, and Irene, you may be able to verify this, he said, "I didn't know how sick I was until I got well." He said, "I didn't know how bad I felt until I felt good." And that's how it was with me. I didn't know how bad it was until I received Jesus Christ. That's news worth sharing. That's news worth telling others about. That is news worth giving to people because it's life-saving news. It's not just life-changing news, it's life-saving news. And who of you would not reach out a hand to save someone's life if you had the power to do it? So this Christmas, we want to take time and remember that it is important to share the good news. We don't have to sing it like the angels did from heaven, but we need to say it and say it boldly and say it and proclaim it strong and make sure that no one has any doubt what a difference Jesus Christ has made in your life. Amen.